Hello and welcome to Argue the Toss at GameIndustry.com. I'm Shella.
And I'm Drew, and together we're arguing about the things that really matter in games and films and stuff.
Indeed, we are. It is season 4, episode 24, the last episode of 2018.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, another year.
And this week we're rounding off the year the same way we always do. It's our coveted award season, the tosses. So we've
Yep.
got 11 more to give out, I think. Is it 11? Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah,
it's something
probably.
like 11 each.
Yeah. 11-ish awards to give out.
11-ish awards. yeah yeah
So, yeah. Same categories as last year. Nothing's been shifted around.
no
So, let's kick off, I guess.
yeah
So I don't know, do you want to give a little précis of how you think the gaming year was this year?
Yeah,
How do you
it's been. I know you found it very difficult to put a full list together for this one. I didn't have so much trouble. I think I've played a kind of a lot more than you have this year because you've been busy with all sorts of other stuff. So yeah, it's not a reflection on you. But yeah, it was difficult to immediately think of stuff that I wanted to give awards this year. I had to like go through a list of everything that had been released this year and be, oh yeah, now I remember this, now I remember that. I think I'd kind of we had a really rich year last year and there was a lot to choose from, and I think kind of less standout stuff this year.
I mean, apart from the fact that I've been traveling a lot this year, so it's been hard for me to like play, especially the big stuff, the big releases. I've kind of dipped into them, but just to get a flavor. But yeah, I haven't managed to finish of the any of the big things like the Red Deads and the Assassin's Creeds. But yeah, I think last year it was just this smorgasbord of just this feast, this banquet of just greatness.
Yeah, like Breath of the Wild was last year. That seems amazing. It was,
I mean, just so many good things. It was Horizon Zero Dawn, and like the indie scene was just like pumping as well. It was just like everything was great. I think I found a lack of standout female characters this year
We did too.
for that one, which was like completely the opposite last year. So yeah, it's but and I think it we're in that funny time because it's like there are rumblings of the new console, you know, announcements coming in 2019. So we're kind of getting to the sort of end of this the age of this console generation. So yeah, it's one of those funny times, I think. So without further ado, we'll our first award is biggest surprise
That
of the
is.
year. Do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, why not? Like, I think the biggest surprise for me this year is that I'm giving an award to a Call of Duty game. I bought Black Ops first sort of on a whim. I've never really been invested in that series, and I got r for a game that has no single player campaign, because I'm not much of a multiplayer gamer either. There's so much in that game that I've just been drawn into and kept playing, particularly the kind of blackout mode, which is Call of Duty sort of take on PUBG and Fortnite, and I think it kind of refines certain aspects of those two games and brings them together into something that personally I enjoy more than either of those other two. It kind of has much faster paced kind of gunplay. You're not as likely to just be one shotted from like ages away on the map, and you don't have to learn to build stuff. So it's just a really kind of accessible game, which I've sunk a lot of time into, which I was quite surprised at, because I thought it was going to be one of those kind of impulse purchases, which I am known for making, and then just putting on my shelf and not. Like, I've got a stack of PS4 games which I've put like an hour into, but I've actually gone back to Black Ops 4 quite a lot since I've. Since I bought it. So yeah, that was my biggest surprise this year, I think.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so mine is Spider-Man, which I suppose some people will think that's a weird one to be surprised by,
You were
but
so skeptical about it.
I was so skeptical. I was just like, I thought it was going to be Arkham in a Spidey suit, and I don't like the Arkham games. I don't think we need to go there again because anybody that listens to the podcast knows and is like, boring. So yeah, I was just surprised and delighted and really happy to be so surprised and to love it so much. But I just like thoroughly enjoyed that. It was kind of like everything you want a game to be, just sort of just fun and easy. And I don't mean in terms of like the difficulty rating, but just easy to get on with, and it was just so slick, and the combat made you feel awesome, and it gave you lots of tools to play with. The characters were really well written, and yeah, I just really loved it and didn't expect to, and that's always quite a good feeling.
Absolutely.
yeah. So any honorable mentions in Biggest Surprise? I suppose.
No, I haven't really got any. I think I've got a few going down on the other subjects, but nothing in that.
Okay. Oh, I do have actually one, which is Forza Horizon 4. I was just like, I haven't played a driving game in an absolute age. And yeah, so Forza is not something that sort of like, pops up on my horizon. Yeah, I played it at a friend's house, and I was just like, oh my God, they do like sort of open world driving games, which is just like a really cool idea. And it was, yeah, really good fun. And yeah, it was just like good fun being able to do anything in this world. And yeah, you can race against kind of players, ghost cars and stuff, and just yeah, it was good fun, like good range of vehicles, and the fact that it was like this sort of pseudo fictionalized UK kind of Edinburgh countryside type thing. It was, I mean, it looked stunning, like all the best driving games do. It looked like fantastic, and you could just go off road and just like, I was just driving across farmland, just because I could, and it was just yeah, it was good fun.
I'm going to agree with you on that one because I sort of randomly picked that up and played it myself.
Yeah.
Because you kind of, if you have the like Xbox Game Pass, you get the PC version for free, which
Oh.
is quite surprising because that's a pretty big, pretty recent game. And
Right.
I had a blast just sort of cruising around on that, driving cars through dry stone walls and scaring sheep and
Yeah,
all,
exactly. It's just good fun. Yeah.
So yeah, I
Yeah.
would. So yeah, I will also award that an honorable mention.
Cool.
Excellent. That's the best thing about this show is that the awards can change mid-show.
That's how arbitrary these decisions are. So, next category is the biggest wow moment.
Yeah, you gonna go first for this one?
So the biggest wow moment for me is sort of an industry wow moment, which was that there was a video games exhibition at the Victoria and Albert Museum, which is known as the V&A, which is a big London museum dedicated to sort of like art and design. And there was this video games exhibition in there called Design, Play, Disrupt. And I was lucky enough to be part of the exhibition. I was invited to, I suppose, be a voice of industry, and filmed a sort of interview, and they took segments of the interview and talking about different topics in terms of like diversity and game design. And there was sort of like people I really respected. When I went to see the exhibition, I saw the people who I was sitting beside in this sort of like video screen. I was pretty humbled. There were some really great people up there, but the exhibition itself is just really fantastic. And when I went to the launch event, To be standing in the V&A, because it is, you know, sort of like being in the Natural History Museum or something, you know, it's like it's a symbol of sort of establishment and what we think of. It's like a sort of it holds things that we value culturally, and for video games to be in that space was just really fantastic. It felt really great, sort of seeing like work by my friends and peers. You know, some of them I know personally, some of them I don't. To see their work in there was just really fantastic. And then going around the museum, the curation of the museum was just really fantastic too, because there's the danger that a video games exhibition is just like a glorified arcade where you just go and play games. But the way they designed it is there's lots of sketchbooks and looking at the sort of the design and the creativity behind games and all the thought processes that go into games, and sort of all the inspiration, and sort of there were sort of the they recreated the post-it note board for The Last of Us, and then they had the sort of spreadsheet for all the sort of lore behind Journey and stuff like that, and sketchbooks from Bloodborne, which are be really beautiful sketchbooks. And then they had like a room which was like this huge curved screen, which was sort of displaying the sort of the breadth and the awesome, like in the original like meaning of the word, the awesomeness of the gaming community around the world, and like how massive the sort of like esports, you know, just it used numbers and scale to present how big an impact games have around the world, and like all the creativity it spawns in terms of cosplay and, you know, what people do in Minecraft, or, you know, it's like people sort of building a sort of IKEA store in Minecraft and stuff like that. And yeah, it was just a fantastic exhibition. Well, it's still on till the end of February, and then it's moving to Dundee. So that was, yeah, definitely a wow moment
Yeah,
being part of
it
that.
sounds like one. I
Yeah,
really need
yeah.
to go and see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, if you can get up to London to see it, it's worth it. It's good. Yeah, really well put together. Thumbs up to that team.
Okay, well, mine is slightly smaller. My biggest WoW moment this year was playing Tetris Effect in VR, which, yeah, compared to like the what you've just said, which sounded amazing, like sounded very, very small. But
No, but yeah, wow moments are wow moments, aren't they? So.
I've got a lot of stuff to say about Tetris Effect. I think I should maybe write something down about it. But no, taking a game which I've never been a massive Tetris fan. I've played Tetris as much as anyone else has played Tetris, which is probably, a fair bit. It was just really interesting to get into, put on the VR helmet and find out how completely immersive it can become when it's paired with the right music, when it's compared with it has the right sound design and it has the right kind of visuals. It's incredibly absorbing, and you wouldn't think that VR was like a suitable format for Tetris because, it's a flat 2D screen, but the way that it's presented is just fantastic. And I sort of took off the helmet 2 hours later and thought, I feel like I spent no time in there at all. So it's just a really kind of surprising, I'd been prepared for it as well because everyone said the same thing. They say, yo, if you get Tetris Effect, you've got to play it in VR. Don't bother with the screen. You've just got to immerse yourself in it. So I was forewarned, but I don't think I'd expected quite how immersive it was going to be. So
Yeah, it is a cool game.
it really is. Yeah, it's like even if you're kind of on the fence about Tetris, if you kind of like it, it's just worth it to see what can be done with the just really kind of simple visuals and sound design.
I agree. The next category is best art of the year. I think you're up.
This was a tricky one for me. I couldn't remember any games which I had played, like, sort of, and specifically noticed their art style. Mm-hmm. So what I ended up giving it to is Red Dead Redemption 2, because I spent a lot of that game just stopping to admire the scenery. What the world that they've created is absolutely gorgeous, and there were just multiple times that I would be riding along, you know, some path, and just realize that I was in an incredibly sort of beautiful environment. Like, there would be a lake down this way and a mountain up that way, and they'd just be so beautifully rendered and so kind of realistic looking that I just had to kind of stop and take some screenshots and photos just to you know, as you would if you were actually sightseeing. So I thought that was really fantastic. I don't have a lot to say about that. It's just that's what happens when you have a massive AAA studio who can put, you know, years of effort into it. Mm-hmm. But what they've done is really fantastic. I do have an honorable mention for this one as well, which is Celeste, which is kind of on the other end of the scale in that it's a very very small kind of pixel art style with very, very sort of diminutive characters, but it does so much with that and creates some really gorgeous and memorable environments as well. Those are kind of my two, but Red Dead kind of pushes it out, I think.
Yeah, I haven't played Red Dead 2 at all yet, which is, I can't believe it, because I think it was my most anticipated
For like the last 2 years.
I know.
Stopped talking about it.
It's just been so busy. It's terrible, and I'm going away for Christmas, so I don't even get to spend Christmas playing it, so it's got to be top of my list for 2019. But I remember the original Red Dead, it was gorgeous, so I can only imagine what that one looks like. But my best art, I went for Return of the Obra Dinn, which is the second game from the Papers, Please team, and it uses this stark black and white style, and we were kind of having a discussion about whether it was a style that was kind of out of necessity, which I think it partly was, because obviously a small team and
team, or is it a guy? I thought it was just the one.
Oh, is it? I'm not sure. I thought it was two people.
Yeah, maybe.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
I'm going to quickly look that up, sorry.
Okay, you look it up and I'll rattle on. So it uses this stark black and white style, which kind of, I feel that it marries with the time period, which is like 1740 or something like that, and it gives this really kind of, it makes me feel like I'm watching, and it's set on a ship, so it gives this feeling of Moby Dick and, you know, the sort of etchings that you might get in an old book of some story set in that time, sort of a Victorian novel or something like that. And I just think, and when you see stills from Obra Dinn, they're unmistakable. You know, it's very distinctive. So for me, it doesn't feel like it is just out of necessity. It feels like there's an aesthetic there.
It kind of has not just an old book sort of aesthetic, but it's got that kind of cross-hatchy pixel kind of effect, which makes it look like an old video game portraying an old book.
It does that as well,
It
just does sort of several things, but the sort of ship and the rigging on the ship is like picked out in really fine white lines against the black sky, and it's just really... I found it really effective. So, can you confirm? Is it a team?
It's just the one person. It's Lucas Pope.
Really? That's incredible.
Yeah, it's...
Just one guy making amazing games.
Yeah.
After another.
Apparently Papers, Please sold so well that he was just able to take all the time off and spend his time developing Obra Dinn, which is really amazing, yeah.
Yeah, that is amazing. Cool. So our next category is best writing.
It is.
And it's me, I think, isn't
It
it?
is.
So for this one, again, I kind of struggled to think of a game where the writing has really struck me this year. Probably an honourable mention might be Return of the Obra Dinn again. I just thought they fell into that style really well. And then I toyed with Spider-Man as well because I thought the characters were really well drawn in that. And I've gone with Florence, which is the mobile game, which is the first game by Mountain Games, which is headed by Ken Wong, who is best known for Monument Valley. And it's a game that is about a romance or a relationship between two people, but it's told with no dialogue. And yeah, I actually interviewed him and was talking about, his influences and stuff, and he looked a lot of comic books or graphic novels. And I just thought it was really brilliant the way he portrayed both through mechanics and through art and gesture, this whole story of these two people falling in love and the compromises you have to make when you move in together, and they come from different cultures and things like that. And I just thought it was like really beautifully done. Because it's a difficult thing to do. Tell a relationship story with no dialogue, it's pretty hard. But it's really beautifully done. It's worth a look, Florence.
Yeah, like it's a quite a short one, isn't it? Yeah, so yeah, I think I'll probably do that this evening and have a look through it. Sounds really good. I had a sort of difficulty coming up with mine as well. There's not been a huge amount that's been, I think, particularly amazingly written. There's been a lot of games that have been sold on their writing. I think Red Dead Redemption and God of War have both been kind of sold on, yeah, we're telling a really, really good story here. And they're kind of good stories in the way that video game stories are good stories. They're not great. They're just better than what we usually get. So I think it kind of by default, and I don't mean that as a sort of I don't mean to kind of insult this game. Life is Strange 2 is what I'm giving best writing for. It's not out. I don't think it's outstanding. I think it's the best of kind of a. We've had a pretty mediocre field in video game writing this year. There's probably something I'm forgetting that's absolutely brilliant, but whatever it did not spring to mind in the time I was putting this list together. Life is Strange 2. Listen to our other podcast if you want to know what we think about it, because we went into it in some detail. And it's really good. Hopefully the rest of the series will match up to it and improve on it in the same way the first season did.
I mean, I almost said that as one of my honorable mentions, but I knew it was your one, so I didn't mention it. Didn't want to like steal your thunder by going on about that, but yeah, I agree. It was a close call between Life is Strange 2 and Florence. I loved that episode. So I can't wait for episode 2, but I think they're like struggling with it, is the impression I get.
Yeah, like it's out next month, I think, which is
Oh, is it? Have they announced it?
that maybe not, maybe I'm misremembering, but I thought it was out in January, but it has been like 3 months since the first episode came out.
No, because I was actually doing a thing with the head of that team a couple of weeks ago or last week or something. And I said, I really loved episode one, and season two is great. And he was like, oh, thank you. He's like, yeah, episode two, it's coming. So yeah, it's kind of like, it's coming eventually. So yeah, so they're obviously working really hard on it. And but the thing he did say to me is, have you played Captain Spirit? And he
No,
said, you must, because it actually comes up in the game in season two. So,
yes.
in the meantime, I think I'm going to play Captain Spirit. And he says it's his favourite of the ones they've done as well. So it's quite interesting.
Yeah, that was one that we saw that. I think that could have gone in for one of the surprise announcements. I think when we did E3, they announced and released a kind of Life is Strange episode.
In and of
itself, which was I don't think anyone was expecting, and we were both kind of excited about it. And I think then we just didn't get around to playing it.
I know. I guess we can do that now whilst waiting for episode 2.
Indeed.
So because I'm intrigued to see how that ties in. Mm. Yeah. So our next category is our favorite world.
Yeah.
And it's you are up.
Oh, am I? Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, there were a couple I could have gone for on this one. The obvious kind of seemed to be Red Dead Redemption 2, mm-hmm. which is, like, that's the draw of that game for me, is its world. It's just, it's not doing the missions, it's not following the story, it's just kind of riding around and being a cowboy in cowboy land. But I've done that before, I've played the first one, and in my experience of Red Dead Redemption 2, and I haven't actually played all that much of it. I haven't had as much fun doing that as I did in the first one. I feel kind of less cowboyish. But that's a word. That's a real word. God of War had a kind of fun world as well, but it was very video gamey. What I ended up doing, and this is a very late breaking entry because this came out about 2 days ago, is giving it to Katamari Damacy Reroll. Which is a remake of the original PS2 game Katamari Damacy, which you may or may not have played. It's very popular, but also at the same time very indie and very niche. If you haven't played it, you play as a kind of very cartoonish alien character called the Prince, and you use your two thumbsticks to kind of control in a tank control like sort of thing. You push around a big sticky ball which will pick up anything that's smaller than it that it bumps into, and the object of the game is it to go around the various levels rolling up every object, which can include animals, humans, all sorts of very off the wall stuff. And it's just this very Japanese, very kind of quirky, very insane, and very very sort of its time video game world, which has just been quite nice to revisit in the past few days. And that's out on PS4 and Switch, and I got it on Switch because I want to take that around and play it wherever. That's mine.
Cool. Favorite world, yeah. So mine is No Man's Sky next, which you said is no surprise. I surprised myself because I'd forgotten that I'd played it again this year. I'd forgotten about the next episode of this year's gaming. So, yeah, I loved No Man's Sky when it first came out, and they keep adding stuff and improving it. There's more weather effects and stuff, and now you can play with, you know, three other people, it's just beautiful, it's relaxing. I wish I had an extra life in order to be able to play it, because it's one of those games you can't just sort of like, oh, I'll play 20 minutes of No Man's Sky, because you won't have done anything. I'd like, you know, a few days to be able to sink back into that, because it is beautiful, and I just like wandering through it. I love all the sort of weird obelisks and sort of artifacts of ancient cultures, and floating around scanning stuff. I don't really go into space that much unless I need to like sell some stuff or something, because I just like being planet side and just wandering around, and it's just a cool world. It's like the music's always like really brilliant as well, so it's a good place to spend some time, just get away from stuff.
Yeah. I mean, when next came out, I tried to I bought it again thinking, yes, I'm definitely back into it this time, and it's on my shelf.
This time it will work.
I didn't really get back into it. It is gorgeous. It is, you know,
Yeah, one of those where you can understand why other people like it, maybe.
Yes, but yeah, not necessarily something that I'm ever going to spend significant
Yeah.
amounts of time with.
Yeah, I might not either, just because
Just,
life
yeah.
gets in the way. So, is it a new category?
It is, I think.
Keep it together, shall I? Keep it together.
Yeah.
So, the next category is best sequel.
Indeed.
And this is what we've dubbed a double hander.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, yes. So we can a double-handed tosser. The rare. We only awarded one last year, so
Yeah.
this is the first. We've awarded one pretty early on this year. So
Yeah.
maybe we'll break the record. But we're both going for Tetris Effect,
We are indeed.
which
Yeah.
is really amazing.
Yeah, I mean, who would have thought we'd be sitting here going, yeah, a Tetris
Yeah.
sequel, best sequel of
Yeah.
the year, in the same year as, like a God of War everybody loved, a Red Dead finally, and another an Assassin's Creed that was slick and great and everybody loved. It's like, no,
Yeah,
Tetris.
like absolutely. I mean, because if you've played Tetris before, you can buy this, and it has Tetris in it. It is Tetris' core. You can just play kind of whatever kind of variant of it you want, but it's also kind of layered on top with stuff from the guys who made Res
Res.
Infinite, I think, and well,
Yeah.
and Lumines.
Yeah.
So just masters of incorporating sound and visuals into puzzle games like that,
Yeah.
and it's just a fan it's a stunning way to play it. Even if you're not that into kind of Tetris, you have to
Yeah.
experience the kind of synesthesia of it.
Yes, exactly. Because if you, because, Tetris is one of those like universally kind of engaging games once you start playing it. It might not be something you return to all the time, but everybody's played it and gotten stuck playing it and then, sort of like dreamt the Tetris blocks.
Yeah.
And so it's that but then adds the beauty and the feeling of like as if putting the blocks of the Tetris blocks together, like unlocks some secret of the universe because the
Yes, yeah.
music is telling you that that's what's happening.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like, because they've given it this sort of like galaxy kind of backdrop, and then the music just responds to everything you do, and all of a sudden it's elevated to this kind of sort of like hypnotic effect. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. It's just gorgeous and brilliant, and yeah, just seems such an obvious thing to do now,
Yeah.
now that someone's done it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like we said, it's great on a screen, but it's a great argument for owning a PSVR as well, because it is just you can. I think the way I put it was like I own a plastic helmet now, which I just put on, and it t takes me into a world made of Tetris.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a really nice place to spend any amount of time.
Yeah, so could have been a favorite world as well.
Yeah, could have. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's yeah.
Just give
It's so many
everything to
worlds. I'd
Tetris
like there's the I don't want to spoil any of my awards, but there's more Tetris Effect coming up. So yeah.
Effects. To come.
I do have a couple of honorable mentions for this one as
Okay.
well. I've already talked about Black Ops 4, so I'm not going to mention that in any significant detail. Hitman 2 also came out this year, and I
Yeah.
think that's it's not the best. It definitely wasn't going to get best sequel for me. It is. If you've played it, Hitman 1, the sort of episodic Hitman that was released last year or the year before now, I think, this is very much more of the same, but they've released it all as one big pack, and as they did last year, adding content to it in the form of kind of timed missions and elusive targets and downloadable stuff which you can get for free within certain times. And it seems like the level design has kind of taken a big step up in Hitman 2. They've to the detriment of everything around it, kind of, because it feels now like Hitman is a platform just for putting these levels in. And the stuff that goes in between those levels has been kind of downgraded quite significantly. So there are no live cutscenes anymore, it's all just slideshows. The plot of Hitman 2 is pretty laughable. Like, on its face, it just doesn't make any sense, and it's the most kind of video game bullshit writing you'll ever watch.
Brilliant.
Yeah. But the game itself, they clearly kind of formulated this really efficient dev pipeline for getting these levels made and out, and they're really well put together. They function like clockwork, like the best Hitman levels always do. I'm not going to go too much more about it, but it is a good sequel to 2015 right. Hitman, which I don't think is kind of the best that Hitman has ever been. Like, I think there are much better Hitman games in its history, but for what it is, this is really good.
Cool.
That's it.
Okay. But sequel. So now it is most original game of 2018.
It is. And is it me now?
I can't remember now.
Because we both did the last one, so...
Yeah, we did. Yeah, do it. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to just go anyway, because I'm going to go for Return of the Obra Dinn on this one.
Yeah. So it's another double... It's a double hander. Oh, ding, wow. Ding, ding.
Yeah, double handed tosser. Yeah, so that's, wow, two.
Yeah,
I think, I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, we've beaten the record.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah. So do we need to talk about this much more? I mean,
No. I suppose in terms of like the fact that if you said to someone, yeah, it's this game about being an insurance. Is that an insurance claim?
Yeah.
You'd be like, people would be like, what the actual fuck? That is not a game I'm going to play.
No.
And it's just like this seems to be able to take bureaucracy and make them into really interesting games.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of what makes it the most original, is like partly that continuation of that use of bureaucracy as a sort of means of, as a framework for a game. And and just the, it reminds me of Her Story.
Mm-hmm.
In that you are get sort of drip fed bits of information which you then have to piece together in order to find out what's happened on this ship, which now has nobody aboard but has some corpses.
Mm-hmm.
And the only tool you have is a fob watch, a pocket watch, with sort of magical powers.
To be fair, it's a useful tool. The only tool you have is a magical watch which allows you to look back in time.
I mean, it's pretty good as like only tools go. When you point it at a corpse, you then get this kind of freeze frame of what happened in the last moments of that that person's life. So it could be they're getting shot in the shoulder by someone, and if you can see that someone's face, you can then the other tool you have is like a ship's log, which has a list of the crew and the passengers, and this picture, a drawing of the people on the ship. So you're trying to match the names with the faces using the information you can gather from the memories. It kind of reminds me of Her Story in that way, that you get these snippets.
Yeah.
And then you have to piece together to find out the mystery. And I just love it. I just started playing it this week because I thought, you know, I've got to kind of get some games in before I do this show. So I haven't solved the mystery yet, but I love it. Yeah, love a good bureaucracy game.
I haven't played all that much of it. I've played an hour or so of it, but I thought it was really good, and I'm waiting for to have the time that I can just sit down with it and
because you just really want to get in there start taking notes.
It's not a game that you can play over like 2 weeks. You want to get in there and beat that in two or three nights and just have the
mystery. Because otherwise you'll forget because I was already going, so who was he? Which memory was he in again? Yeah, so it's going to be note taking, and I love it. So the next category
I've still got some honorable mentions.
I'm sorry, excuse me.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention, because I haven't actually given it any awards, but it's one of my favorite games this year, Beat Saber, which if you're not, so if you don't pay attention to VR, you may not have sort of encountered it. But it's kind of a, it's a music rhythm game which takes place entirely in VR. You need two motion controllers to use it, and basically it, it plays like sort of a kind of simplified version of the Guitar Hero or Rock Band system, in which you have notes coming towards you in the form of kind of cubes. They have arrows on them, and basically you use your two motion controllers as lightsabers, and you have to slice the boxes in the direction that you can, in the direction indicated, in time to the music. And there's also a lot of dodging left, dodging right, and extra game mechanics on top of that. But it's a really, really fun thing to do. It's like it's the fusion of like Guitar Hero and Dance Central, in which, you know, you have to coordinate your arms. You're always moving. You're, it's a very physical game. It's just tons of fun to play. And again, like Tetris Effect, a reason to own a VR helmet, which admittedly are few and far between.
Yeah, but it's nice to have at least two.
Yes.
Yeah. There was the
most... At least two. Yeah, I've got like four now.
Okay, I'm sorry. I take it back. But yeah, it seems like it's growing though, so which is good. Yeah.
There have definitely been a couple of, in the last couple of months, there have been a lot of interesting experiences which could only be done on VR.
Yeah, I suppose there's that. There's that difference, isn't there, as to just having a game that's in VR, is to have ones that are, that couldn't work otherwise. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, next category is, this is one that I struggled with, best characters this year. Yeah. So, male, female, non-binary. I struggled this year to find standout protagonists.
Yes.
So, both of mine are kind of side characters. So, is it me?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so my best male character, I don't have a non-binary character because, that sort of lack of inclusion means there may be some, and if there are, please tell us, because it would be nice to know, or if we've forgotten someone. But my male character is Jeff from Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. I love Jeff. What's his name? Jefferson
Davis. If you know your American history, that's an odd name for a main black character, but that's what he's called.
And he's the father of Miles Morales. That's a bit of a spoiler, but yeah, there you go.
I mean, it kind of isn't. He's pretty well known in the comics.
But I mean, if you haven't read the comics and you're just playing the game and have seen the movies, then... Yes. Yeah, it is. But Jeff, I was just playing as Spider-Man and I was, I don't know, fighting a bunch of goons outside a warehouse like you do in the Spider-Man game. Mm-hmm. And then this cop was already there and he was like, hey, Spidey. He's like, here's what's going down kind of thing. And then we were just like buddy copped our way through this thing and it was phenomenal. And I was like, yes, Jeff. I was just like, Jeff is amazing. Because he was like, I'll cover you and you go up there. And he was like really useful. Mm. He wasn't like a hindrance. He didn't feel like just some AI. He just like, I was like, yeah, Jeff's my man. He's like, I want Jeff every time I go into a warehouse now. And then I just loved him. He was great. I was like cheering for him through that scene. Yeah. It was great. Unfortunately, things don't go so well for Jeff later on down the line. Yeah. But it becomes a really integral part of the story and stuff, and it's really cool. But I just thought it was nice that he's quite a small character because he's kind of like a lead in to Miles.
Yes.
And so he didn't need to have been, you know, in video games obviously in writing terms he did need to be well written, but as video games, you know, he was just serving the plot, so they didn't, but they really made this character come alive and like chose a really good way to introduce him and like to sort of warm him to your heart as the player, so that you'd care.
Yeah, I think I spent the whole of that mission kind of taking selfies with him and just hanging out. My best bud.
I I know. So yeah, it was amazing. So I loved Jeff. And then my female character, I had a real, I really had to delve for this one. So I've gone for Lila from Life is Strange 2, because she was, although we don't see much of her in Life is Strange 2, or episode 1, I'm hoping she comes back because she's just like a really immediate character in the way that, what's the one that's not Max in the first season?
Chloe.
So, Chloe. Yeah, in the way that Chloe is, because she's just more confident and, has a really strong personality and is like sort of immediately kind of likable. She's more likable than Chloe, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think
And
so.
yeah, like by a million miles. And yeah, she's just seems like a really good friend. I'd want her as a friend. Yeah, I liked her a lot. And yeah, so yeah, there were quite a few standout characters or side characters, because then there was the journalist in Life is Strange 2 as well, but obviously he's a man, so
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd
and
forgotten
I
him.
yeah, so that's my kind of honorable mention as a yeah another memorable male character this year, but obviously it had to go to Jeff.
I think rather than best characters, we've gone for nicest characters.
Yeah, cool. Then wouldn't it be the dad from Life is Strange
Yeah, no, it
too?
would also another honorable mention.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have to confess, I sort of went a different way with this subject this year because the list you kind of went back and listened to last year's podcast and found out what to list which awards we gave last year, and
Yeah.
rather than dividing it up into male and female, it just says best characters on the list you sent me, so I just picked a game
Oh,
which had
sorry.
the best characters.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, like we discussed this before, this sort of thing, and yeah, it was very difficult to find individual male and female standout characters this year, particularly female characters.
Yeah.
Like, neither of us have really played Assassin's Creed Odyssey, so she may be really good, but I haven't, like, from the stuff I've read, I don't get the sense that she's a particularly notable character.
No.
And there's kind of, I guess this is a new Tomb Raider for female characters, but I think everyone's a little bit sick of this version of Lara Croft. So I kind of just went with God of War, which I think as a game has the most kind of interesting characters throughout. So you've got Kratos, who is like, he's Kratos as Kratos has always been. He's grown up a bit, he's become a bit more gruff and dad-like, which is, yeah, I know that's something we've seen hundreds of times in the last couple of years through Last of Us, grizzly white dad protagonists, but it's still fun to kind of watch that relationship unfold. I think there's a reason that like so many games do it, is that it is, we do kind of just, I say this as a man, I kind of like playing a dad character even though I'm not a dad. I like being gruff and unreachable and and a bit distant, a bit Christopher Judge. Like the background character, well, the secondary characters in that game are also really great, being based on like the Norse gods, who are the best gods. So you've got like kind of Mimir, who you've got Freya in there, you've got Baldur. They're all not necessarily particularly true to the original characters, but they are in as much as it matters. And if you kind of know your Norse mythology, which I'm not going to pretend to be an expert in it, but I know it a little bit. There are some really cool references in there and really cool callbacks to the original myths, and yeah, they just kind of did a really good job turning those into a likable cast, even if they're all bastards who hate each other and want to kill each other, which is what the Norse gods
That's
basically. Well,
gods, basically, isn't
yes,
it?
very much so.
Okay, so next category.
So that's best soundtrack is what I've got here,
Yep.
and is it,
It
it
is.
it's me this time.
It is.
So yeah, as hinted to, as foreshadowed, this is the third appearance of Tetris Effect on our list, which has like kind of such a varied soundtrack. There's ambient stuff in there. There's a level which is like all done in like New York jazz. and piano. It's very varied, and it's all kind of tied into the way you play. So you, as you move, it's not even as you drop stuff, but even as you move left and right with your pieces, that it will play notes, and it kind of encourages you to play in a rhythm, because if you're playing all over the place, it will be more discordant, it won't fit together as much, and it's another way that it drags you into, like, kind of being immersed in the game, is that you start playing in rhythm with the music, even though you don't kind of have to.
Yeah,
it's just very varied and amazingly done, and yeah, far and away the best soundtrack this year for me. I do have an honourable mention again for Celeste, which does really good stuff with kind of synths, sort of old style soundtrack, but Tetris Effect much, much better.
Hmm. Cool. My best soundtrack is Shape of the World, which was an indie game that came out this year, which is, just sort of, I don't know what it is. It's sort of like an explorathon.
Mm-hmm.
So you just move through this this world that's generated as you move through it. And it's kind of a, so as you move through, you can throw seeds and trees grow from where you throw the seeds. And there's this sort of path that you have to follow, a very, very light puzzle element to it. And as you move through the world, it sort of, you get weather effects. And as you get towards the end of the game, there are different sort of, so there's bits where you're in underwater caves, and which are really beautiful. It's a really stunning game, and was probably one of a close second on favorite world, because I just really enjoyed being in that world. So it's like a low poly world, but it's part of its allure is the soundtrack, is just this sort of ambient, but then it goes into a sort of prog rock kind of Osric Tentacles kind of, you know, lots of people might not know Osric Tentacles, but they're sort of psychedelic prog rock band who are current, but sort of crossover with dance music, but then also use kind of North African influenced guitar chords, chord structures. So you get a sort of, I guess a really crass way of saying it would be a sort of Arabian kind of sound, but then this kind of dance, sort of psychedelic element to it. And yeah, there are times when it goes into this kind of Osric's like real sort of ambient soundscapes, which really match with the world and add to this sort of dreamy, the fact that the controls are quite floaty as well. There's just the whole thing, and it is in the same way that Tetris Effect works. It kind of just like draws you in and through the world, and it feels like everything you do in the world is connected to the way the sounds that feed back to you. It was a really lovely game.
Cool. It sounds like I played a very brief bit of it when you were playing it over at your place, and it would really make an excellent VR game. I'd really like to explore that world just completely immersed
with
full on surround sound.
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't. But there we go.
Yeah.
So these are our last two categories, and it's favorite game and best game. And yeah, we sort of decided this last year because there was such a glut.
Yeah.
It's been a bit harder this year. So we've decided, you know, because sometimes the game you enjoy the most isn't what you'd then also consider the best game of the year.
No.
That's the division that we created there. So the first one is favorite game.
Yeah, and I think we are awarding our third and final double-handed
Tetris Effect.
I think we both, like, you were surprised that you loved this so much. I wasn't. I knew I was going to love this from the beginning.
Yeah.
It's Spider-Man on PS4, which we've
We've talked about it.
I think the best way to do this is for you to talk about why you liked it, even though you went in not thinking you'd like it. It's not a perfect game, I don't think. It's got lots of fun stuff. The swinging is fantastic. It's really well written. It's got great characters. It's just very highly polished and very gorgeous and fun to play. I think there are bits in it that don't work. I think like some of the kind of side missions where you have to attack bases and fight off waves of enemies are a chore, and you do like two of them and you just think, I don't really want to do any more of this, but I've got to kind of complete this sector. There's just slightly too much kind of Ubisoft collectible cruft to do. Not that it's a Ubisoft game, but it's got Ubisoft mechanics in it, certainly. But between all that, it is just kind of the best Spider-Man experience that's ever been made on a console. I can't think of anything better. Not even, you know, the one that everyone holds up is Spider-Man 2 on the Xbox and GameCube, which is still a fantastic game, but I think this pips it.
Yeah, I agree. Oh yeah, so that's that category over there.
Yeah,
because we've done it.
Sorry to keep stopping us, but I do have some more honourable mentions.
I forget about the honourable mentions. I'm always forgetting. Sorry.
Yeah, I feel like I've done so many of them for this particular episode, and I know it's kind of only because you haven't been able to play that much this year, so you haven't got loads on top of these.
Yeah,
but there are the. Like, even though this year has not been as good as last year when it comes to games, there's still a lot of stuff that I just want to mention as being really good, even though it didn't make it into the final list. I've talked about Celeste, I've talked about Beat Saber. I haven't talked about Celeste much on this episode, but we did on a previous podcast, I think, at the beginning of the year. Celeste I really like because it's just very kind of tight platforming, just a 2D kind of very exact, very kind of Super Meat Boy-ish sort of jumping off walls platformer, which kind of starts with one main mechanic and just iterates on it through an entire game. And yeah, I'm not going to go on about it anymore because I could just talk about Celeste for hours. Beat Saber I've already mentioned. The other one that I haven't mentioned at all during this episode is Into the Breach, which I picked up when it came out on Switch, which is just a fantastic bite-sized little 8x8 strategy game, which is continually randomly generated and somehow always engaging, even with all that.
Uh-huh.
So that's, yeah, one of my other favourite games this year. Well, that's three of them.
I haven't got honourable mentions. I don't. Probably Life is Strange 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough call between those ones. I could have maybe given favourite game to Life is Strange 2.
Yeah.
Because I can't wait for episode 2. I didn't really need any more Chloe and Max. I didn't play their prequel, although it wasn't Max, but yeah, I didn't play the prequel, so I was just really happy to be back in that world, the Life is Strange universe. And I was really happy that it was just a really strong episode one, I can't wait, and I hope the team is like doing well on it, and yeah, I wish them all the best with getting episode 2 out, and yeah, I can't wait, really. Loved it, and yeah, I'm like kind of a bit sad that there hasn't been much buzz around it, and I hope it does get the buzz it deserves when episode 2 comes out, because it's really great.
Yeah, it really is.
So our final category is best game of 2018. So is it me? Or is it you?
I think you.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, I don't think anybody's hanging on that decision.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, because So I've given it to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Just because. I think a lot of people might furrow their brows over that one.
Mm.
Well, like, because a lot of the awards are going to Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah, which is missing off both our lists, I think, apart from that I give it for best art, but
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that it might change after I play it.
Yeah.
you know, I might agree with that. I don't know. But I just, for me, Spider-Man was everything I kind of enjoy about games, you know, especially, you know, those slick sort of triple A games, because quite often my best game of the year will be some arty thing. And it was just really nice to get one of those slick, shiny games that was just so much fun that it just seemed like fun was at the forefront.
Yes.
It wasn't like gritty and dark. You know, I really enjoyed the main character, and he was kind of caring, and you know, he had that sort of soft masculinity about him, even though he's a superhero. So you know, and like his side characters, you know, his sort of supporting cast were really strong as well. I think, yeah, just a lot of care had gone into all of the characters, and the world looked beautiful, and everybody had loads of fun with it on the internet with all their selfies and stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, sometimes I really enjoy those waves of, like, sometimes it's quite nice to just go, because I'm not a completist like you, so I don't feel like I have to clear all the areas. But
no.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm going to do one of those stupid like bases or whatever, and just because I just get to swing kick people in the face for half an hour or whatever. So in terms of like my year this year, which has been like super busy, I've hardly been at home. And so when I got hold of that, because you lent it to me, you lent me your copy, I could just like jump into it and like spend a couple of hours in an evening really happily in there, and it just really worked for me. So yeah, I just really enjoyed a good, fun, slick, well done game for me.
Yeah, I absolutely understand and agree. It's a really amazing game, and definitely one of the best games. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. As for me, I've given my best game to God of War. It's not the game that I spent the most time on, but while I still haven't kind of finished it. It's a very, very long game. but it's fantastically made. It's fantastically put together. All of the characters I found engaging and interesting. The combat system is really kind of meaty and rewarding and visceral. And yeah, I just kind of enjoyed it as a really well constructed adventure, and I think it's like even more so than Red Dead, it's the best put together AAA game this year, and for that reason, I'm awarding it best.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that is it.
That is so it.
I think, yeah, last year, it's so hard to follow up 2017.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely.
But it's still been a good year.
Oh, yeah,
I think there's been some good games and some good moments and to be had.
Yeah, still good stuff on the horizon as well. The rest of Life is Strange, Resident Evil 2 is coming out next month, and I'm ludicrously excited for that. And there's plenty to come. Games ain't over.
No. We didn't kill games in 2018.
No.
Phew. And then Gris. Is it Gris?
I don't
know.
As
in the French for grey, or is it Gris? GRIS. Came out yesterday. I really wanted to play it just to have a look for the show, but I didn't have a chance. But that looks like a stunning, stunning sort of watercolor based platformer, and that's by Devolver. That's published by Devolver. Are they called Devolver?
Yes.
Yeah, they don't have any other word. It's just Devolver, isn't it?
Well, it's Devolver Digital.
That's it. Yeah. They've started publishing really good games. So yeah. It's one of those labels that quite often are a stamp of quality lately. So
Yeah, lately.
yeah, I'm really looking for, huh?
Lately. I want to specify lately. Devolver have released some rubbish.
But yeah, something's turned around there. I think they're sort of picking up some good games. So yeah, I really want to play that. So I'm gonna give it a go. Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you, 2018. Yeah, let us know what we've missed, basically, if anything, which I doubt.
So you can do that in the comments on gameindustry.com in the podcast section. You can find us on iTunes and Spotify. You can no longer find us on SoundCloud, we're afraid. Things have happened and we're no longer present on SoundCloud and we're not going to be uploading there in the future. And anywhere else they can find us?
Twitter at Argue the Cast.
That's it. That's the other important one.
Yeah, so come and chat to us there. That's cool, or in any of the comment sections. But yeah, I'm really sorry if you subscribe to us on SoundCloud. Lots of our old episodes aren't on there anymore, unfortunately, which is sort of out of our hands. So we've kind of decided to just like move over to the other platforms that and focus on those. So yeah, so that's we're at Libsyn, so that means that we're on Spotify, iTunes,
That means you
yeah,
can find a
so
subscribe link which will let you feed us into whatever podcast player you do use.
yeah.
I think we've got one more episode this year, isn't it? One more episode this season, and then
Do we? I don't think we
do
do.
we know? What's it?
No.
No, we.
This is the last episode because I'm flying away.
Oh, yes, of course. All right, so. Yep, so this is the last episode of season 4.
It is.
Thank you for
Yeah, and
staying
then
with
we'll
us
be.
this year.
Yes. That's been a good year. We've done some fun things and we've got some fun things coming up. We've got some guests. A couple of guests that might be coming on next year, which will be fun. Some new guests that we haven't spoken to before.
Hi,
So that
Corey.
is who are you? Yeah, we got a guest that isn't Corey, but I mean Corey's bound to come
At
back,
some
so
point, yes.
yes. Yeah. Yeah, like Drew said, thank you for listening to us for the whole of 2018, and you're excited for season 5. I can't believe we've lasted this long. Yeah, happy festivities, however you celebrate the winter solstice and beyond. And until next time, Drew.
Cheerio.